would like to look this afternoon at three or four passages in the Gospel of Mark. First one is in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning with the 40th verse. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. I have it on my heart, dear young people, this afternoon, to speak particularly, first of all, to the young, but even more so to the young people here this afternoon that belong to Christ, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. This passage that we've just read together in Mark's Gospel has been often used, I'm sure, in the Gospel. The one who is in desperate need of cleansing, coming to the one who can cleanse him of all his leprosy, and he finds in the heart of the Son of God one who responds to that need. Well, for every one of us, every one of the young people here this afternoon that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, this, in some measure, has been the experience of each one. Some in one way, some in another, have come to the only one who could put their sins away. And they have found, as I have found, as many of us here have found, old and young alike, that the eternal Son of God, when we came to him in all our need, when we came to him in all our sins, we found that he was ready to say, I will, be thou clean. He was ready to meet our need, to take away our sin and our guilt, and make us fit to be in the presence of the one who is holy, the Son of God. Well, we find when this leper came, when the Lord Jesus says to him, when this leper says to the Lord Jesus in the 40th verse, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Now, as it were, to pick it up there this afternoon, dear friends, and to consider in the remaining passages that we'll look at in Mark's Gospel, just what happens then? What's the next step? We belong to Christ. Our sins have been met. Our sins have been put away. God's claims against us have been satisfied. And we then find that the Son of God gives to this one, this leper whom he has cleansed, detailed instructions as to what his course then is to be. He says in the 43rd verse, "And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Dear young people, I ask you, could the course that the Son of God desired for this man be more clearly laid out for him? He tells him exactly what to do. He tells him the course that he was to follow, this one who was now cleansed. And, dear young people, I submit to you this afternoon that the one who has met you and I in our need, the one who has put our sins away, the one to whom when we came and said, "If thou wilt," was ready to reply, "I will, be thou clean," that same one has marked out for you and I, dear young people, in this precious book, the pathway that he would have us walk in, that will be a testimony for him. I find that young people, and my heart is no different, we like to have our own way. And you know, dear young people, it is so easy. It is so easy to rationalize our course, to explain away our course as to why our way is better, why our way produces more results, why our way is more effective. And we finally end up convincing ourselves that our way is perhaps the better testimony. But there was for the cleansed leper laid out in the Word of God a course, and the Lord Jesus directs him to that course. Go to the priest and offer for thy cleansing the sacrifice which Moses commanded. Now the Lord Jesus says, and mark the words, "for a testimony unto them." Now we say, how could there be a testimony? What a insignificant thing it is. What a quiet, unassuming thing it is. He's to go to a priest. He's to offer a burnt offering and a trespass offering. He's to offer a lamb or turtle doves or young pigeons. And this was the commandment received from the one who had put his leprosy away. And the Son of God says, that will be a testimony. For a testimony unto them. Now, dear young people, and I say this to my own heart, God has marked out for us in this precious book that which will be a testimony, that which will be for the glory of the one who has cleansed our leprosy. He's marked out for us clearly. And he has given to you and to me, if we belong to Christ, he has given us of his Holy Spirit that we might have this way opened up to us in the Word of God. But we go back to the comment that the leper said to the Lord Jesus, "If thou wilt." Thou canst make me clean. There could be no doubt. There could be no doubt as to the response that that comment solicited from the heart of the Son of God. I will comes immediately from a heart that loves the leper. From the heart that loved that leper, he had compassion on him. And he says, I will be thou clean. Now, dear young people, I submit to you and to myself. We belong to Christ. We know him as our Savior. We have had the meeting with the Son of God when, as it were, we said to him, if thou wilt, and his reply has been immediate, I will, be thou clean. Now, dear young people, what about this next meeting? What about the meeting when the Son of God says to you and I, as it were, will you walk in obedience to the precious Word of God? Will you and I walk? Will we submit to what he tells us in this precious book will be a testimony? Oh, dear young people, the Son of God, in all our need, his reply was, I will. What reply comes from your heart and mind? Are we prepared to say, by grace supplied by him alone, I will? I will. Oh, dear young people, we can't go on in this path or in this course in any strength of our own. But I remember some time ago talking to our brother Barry, and a comment he made to me struck me, and it stayed with me ever since. I got talking to him one day, and we got talking about how prone our hearts are to sin, to disobey the Son of God. And he made this comment. He said, John, we have to own that when we sin, it's because we want to. Because we want to. Because our wills are at work. Our wills. Our wills that choose our way, that want to do what pleases self rather than please the one who bought us by offering himself. Dear young people, in this passage we have someone, a cleansed leper, someone like you and I. Now the Lord Jesus has marked out for him his course. But what do we find the leper doing? Notice what it says in the 45th verse. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Here was the Son of God, and here was the cleansed leper, and the Lord Jesus tells him that which will be a testimony. But the cleansed leper, like you and I sometimes, the cleansed leper decided that he knew better, that he would go out and publish it abroad to tell everyone what the Lord Jesus had done for him. It says that to blaze abroad the matter. Now the Lord had said, go to the priest. That will be the testimony. The leper, he chooses his way. And oh, dear young people, can we not, as it were, hear our own hearts explaining? But think of the results. Think of what was accomplished. Think of all the ones who heard about Jesus. Think about the way the news was spread around as to what he had done. But what was the effect? The effect, dear young people, was that the work of the Lord was hindered. The work of the Lord was hindered. The Lord Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places. It actually became a hindrance to the work of the Lord. And dear young people, I submit to you and to myself, regardless of what we might think the end will be, regardless of how we may think it will achieve good results, there is only one way that we can be a testimony according to the mind of God and further the work of the Lord in a manner that's pleasing to Him, and that's in obedience to His revealed mind in the Word of God. May God give to you and I say particularly to myself, may God give us the grace to submit to His way, to submit to what He has written in this precious book. Oh, when I think of this leper and the quiet course that was prescribed for him by the Lord Jesus, what a testimony it would have been. What a testimony. Jehovah had cleansed the leper. But instead, he publishes it abroad, and the work of the Lord is hindered. Dear young people, God has a purpose. God has a purpose. God has a use in your life. God has saved you, and He's left you here for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him. And may God give you and I the grace to submit to the One who is our Savior and Lord, that He might lay out for us, that He might be the one that chooses for us the course that will be a testimony for Him according to the mind of God. We turn over now to the fifth chapter of Mark for a moment. The fifth chapter of Mark, and beginning with the first verse. We will not read all this account. It's one well known to many, I'm sure. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." We go down to the 15th verse. And they, that is the people of the country, come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Well, we know this story, I'm sure, most of us very well. This man again, who met the Lord Jesus in all his need, and had that need met, so that the people from the country came and found this one who had been such a wild man, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. But that day, dear young people, that man who had his sins, that man who had his need met, that man who had that evil spirit cast out of him, that man who came to the Lord Jesus and found in him one who could meet all his need, found out something else that day. He found out, dear young people, that this world has no use for God's eternal Son. This world has no use for the one whom he had come to love. He found out that when he wanted to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, those from the country round about wanted Jesus to leave. They wanted him to depart. And so it was that Legion, now clothed and in his right mind, his heart now attached to Christ, he says to him in the 18th verse, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends." We notice in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel how the Lord Jesus says to the leper that he has cleansed, he says to him, go to the priest, go thy way, show thyself unto the priest. There it was, a testimony to be walking, to be in the place, in the course, marked out for us in the precious Word of God. Here we find that the message for this one is, go home to thy friends. Oh, dear young people, doesn't that speak to your heart and mind? Go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Go home to thy friends. Oh, how we love these meetings. Those of us, many of us that belong to Christ, dear young people, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, you love him. You love his people. You can't help it. If you belong to Christ, you have a love for Christ and a love for his people. And it refreshes our hearts to be together in this way. But dear young people, we can't stay together. We can't stay together in this way down here. We have to go home. And we have the commission from the Son of God. He says, go home to thy friends. Oh, you say, you don't understand how difficult it is for me. You don't understand the home life that I'm involved in. You don't understand the type of school that I'm in. You don't understand how hard. Dear young people, there is one who understands. There's one who loves you. There's one who, when you needed him, he said, I will, be thou clean. Now, dear young people, I say it reverently, he needs you. He needs you. He calls upon you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you. To go home to that difficult situation. Go home to perhaps a home where mother and father are not the Lord's, and life is very difficult. But to go home and be able to tell them, be able to show to them in your life what great things the Lord hath done for you. To go home back to school. Oh, you say, nobody at school knows I'm a Christian. Is that right? But the one who has redeemed you, the one who said, I will, when you needed him, he says to you, go home to your friends. Do you belong to Christ? Is he precious to you? The Word of God tells us, to you therefore that believe, he is precious. He is precious. May God give us the grace, give you and I both the grace, to go home, to go back into that very difficult situation perhaps that we came from. That difficult job where the people at the office or the people at school or wherever it is, where it's so hard, we say, so hard to witness for Christ, so hard to speak a word for him. But the one who has redeemed you will be with you. This dear man, he knew what it was. He'd already found out that it wasn't going to be popular because the very one that he wanted to tell these people about, they had already asked him to leave. He knew very well that his message was not going to be popular. And dear young people, if you speak to some in your school or in your office, what you do is not going to be popular, but it will meet the approval of the one who has claimed you as his own, and the Lord can use it in blessing. Oh, when I think of this man who had been chained, who had been a wild man in the mountains, and now he goes out with a message. What great things the Lord had done for him. Dear young people, I submit to you and I submit to myself, it will do two things. If you will be faithful with grace given to you from the Lord in school or in the office or wherever you are to speak for Christ, to tell the boy or the girl, whoever it is, what great things the Lord hath done for you, it will do two things for you. One, it will give you a joy in your soul that no other experience could give you. And the second thing it will do, it will separate you from a world that has no use for the Savior that you're talking about. You'll find that company, that group of boys, that group of girls, that society or whatever it is, name it anything you will, that wants your company now, when they find that you want to speak about Christ, when you want to tell them what great things the Lord has done for you, you'll find that no longer do they seek your company, but as it were, just like the master, so the servant, they will ask you to depart out of their coasts. But you'll be in the company of the one who has walked that path too, and enjoy communion with him. Could we turn over now to the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel? And the 46th verse. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We have seen the course of one who was a leper. We've seen the course of one who was possessed with the devil, many devils. We see here one now who was blind and who calls to the Lord Jesus in all his need and has that need met. He hears the voice of the Son of God say to him, What wilt thou that I should do unto you? Oh, dear young people, this man, blind, comes to the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus, as it were, has him reply, Lord, that I might receive my sight, it says, The Lord Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole, and immediately he received his sight. Immediately. Dear young people, for 2,000 years now, there have been those who have been receiving their sight by the one who gave his sight to Bartimaeus that day. Many of us here, once blind, now we see. Our eyes have been opened to see what we were and what the Lord Jesus has done. But you notice in this passage, it says Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still. Here was a cry. Here was a cry of one who was in need. And Jesus stopped, stood still to listen to that cry, to meet that need. Now, dear young people, the voice of the Son of God is calling, as it were, to you and I, that we might stand still, that we might consider our way, consider what we're doing, consider what you and I are doing, the course that we're following. You notice it says at the end of this chapter that when he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Oh, dear young people, the world, we're told, is changing. The world is changing. This is a new age. And we hear so much about young people today. We hear from young people that the older generation doesn't understand them. They don't understand the problems of today. They don't understand the questions. They don't understand what young people have to contend with. But, dear young people, I submit to you that there is one who understands. It may well be that I don't understand, but there is one who understands. There's one who's ready to stand still to listen to your voice when you call to him about any problem, about any need, about anything that perplexes you about your course through this world. He's ready, as it were, to stand still and to listen. But the remedy, the course for you, as it was for me, as it was for generations going back 2,000 years, is to follow Jesus in the way. Oh, you say, how can we follow him? How can we know? In this book, in God's word, we have marked out for us the course that he would have us to follow. And that course, dear young people, I submit to you, and may God give you and I the grace to listen. I submit to you that that way has not changed. The one who was the object for Paul and for Peter is the one who is the object for you today if you belong to Christ. The Lord Jesus has walked through this world and he's marked out a path. And that's the path for the 18th century, the 19th century, and the 20th century. To follow in the path of one who was rejected and cast out. To follow in the path of one who was not wanted here. That's the course. That's the course that's marked out for you and I. But oh, what company we walk in. What company we walk in. Think of this one. His eyes are opened, and he sees the Son of God, and he follows him in the way. Dear young people, you say that's a difficult path. I know it can be. I know it can be. It can be a very difficult path. It can bring hardship. It can bring reproach. It can bring, perhaps in some cases, actual suffering. But the company of the Son of God is enjoyed along that course, in that way. This man, Bartimaeus, oh, and I think of it, you know, it just refreshes my own soul so much. Here was a man who at one moment was sitting on the side of the highway begging. And in the next moment, his eyes are open and he's walking in the company of the Son of God. Oh, dear young people, are we going, as it were, are we going to go back to the side of the highway begging? Are we going to go back? We belong to Christ now. Our eyes have been opened. Are we going to go back to the side of the highway begging for what this world has to offer? begging for what the world would hold out as its reward, when we can have the company through this scene of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're home in the glory, we're going to be with this one. When we get home, and every one of us that belongs to Christ will be there. Every one of us that belongs to Him, we will then know the fullness of being in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, and I say it to my own heart, I find in my own heart a desire to go back to the side of the highway and beg for what the crumbs, for the things that this world wants to offer, when I can have the company of the Lord Jesus Christ in the way. May God grant, dear young, may God grant you and I the grace to walk in His company, to follow Him with opened eyes in the way, to find, as Bartimaeus found, that when his eyes were opened, he had an object. He had an object before him. Oh, when I think of it, he threw away his garment. All his old associations were gone. They were of no use to him now. He now had an object, and he followed Him in the way. May God grant, dear young people, that we might follow Him. Follow Him in the way and leave the world. Leave the world to do its own begging at the side of its own highways. And you and I just be occupied with the man in the glory. When the blind Bartimaeus said, when the Lord said to Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? When Bartimaeus' need was revealed, the Lord met that need immediately. Oh, dear young people, when the Lord Jesus speaks to you and I, may we have the grace provided of Him. May we seek it. May we earnestly ask the Lord day by day for the grace just to seek to walk in His company with our eyes upon Christ. Oh, you know, I can remember being in young people's meetings like this years ago, and I hear speakers talk about having your eye upon Christ, being occupied with Him. Dear young people, what does it mean? What does it mean from a practical point of view? What does it mean day by day to have our hearts occupied with Him? We know Him as Savior. Oh, you say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know that I'm going to be in heaven. I know that when the Lord Jesus comes, He's going to take me to heaven. But dear young people, what about this morning? What about this morning when you got out of bed? Did you find that in any way that the Lord Jesus had a place in your life for today? Had a place in your life this morning, this afternoon, and tonight? Had a place in your plans for the day? Had a place in the plans for your life? Had a place in the plans that you've made for tomorrow or for next week? I remember years ago going to visit a young man in the hospital. And he spent, I would say, close to half an hour telling me about all the plans that he had made for when he got out of the hospital. And at that time, I asked him, I think of it now, but at that time, I asked him 5 years ago, I said, those are wonderful plans that you've made, amazing plans that you've made, but where does the Lord fit in? Where does the Lord fit into that plan? And that dear young man was silent. He was silent. He had nothing to say. Because, dear young people, at that time, the Lord had no place in his plans at all. I'm thankful I can tell you today that the situation is different. At that dear young man today, the Lord definitely has a place in all his plans. Now, but at that time, he was consulting the highway side, wanting to beg for what the world had to offer. And Christ meant nothing to him. Dear young people, let's look for one moment at one last passage in the end of the 12th chapter of Mark. The 41st verse. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Have you ever considered, dear young people, what a peculiar expression that is, 2 mites which make a farthing? You know, it struck me that you might say, it'd be like us in Canada anyway today, saying that she had 2 nickels which make a dime. And you'd say, that's a very peculiar expression. Why would the Lord tell us that she had 2 nickels or 2 farthings, 2 mites which make a farthing? Oh, I submit to you, dear young people, that I believe the reason that we're told this peculiar information is to show that that widow that day, she had a choice. She had a choice to make. She could cast in part of what she had, or she could cast in all that she had. She had 2 pieces. She could keep 1 for herself and put 1 in the treasury, or she could cast in all that she had. The other thing we notice about her was that she was a widow. That which we might say would be the natural means of her support was gone. And now she has 2 mites. But what does she do? She gives all that she had. All that she had. Dear young people, and I say this again to myself as well as to any of the young people here, the Lord Jesus doesn't ask of us, now that we belong to Him, He doesn't ask for us to give anything that we have not got. But He does ask. He does ask of you. There was a time when you asked of Him, and He met that need in full. Now He asks of you that you give Him all that you have. Oh, dear young people, He will reward you. He will give you a joy that this world knows nothing about. He will give you peace and satisfaction in your soul here that this world can never understand. And in a home in the glory, He will reward you for everything that you've done for Him. But it must come from a heart that belongs to Him. It must come from love for Him. It must be the love of Christ that constrains us to give all that we have. You know, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we had the case of the merchant seeking goodly pearls, who went and sold all that he had to buy it. The Lord Jesus gave up everything, including his life, that you and I might be his. And now, he calls upon us. He calls upon you and I to give what we have. This isn't talking about money necessarily, but it's talking about whatever it is. Is it time? Oh, dear young people, we have time. But is it his? Is it his? Do we offer it to him? Do we offer it to the Lord for the Lord to choose what should be done with it? Or is it that we use that time for self, for ourselves, for that which is going to be burnt up and thrown away, as it were, with the world's highways? Dear young people, it may be talent. It may be intelligence. It may be any number of things. But the one who claims us for his own, he settles for nothing less, as it were, than all. All that we have. May we again. Dear young people, I want to emphasize, if I haven't emphasized it enough already, none of these things we can do in any way in our own strength. But is it our desire? Do we desire that he might take all that we have and use it for him? Do you remember the account of what took place when they found a young lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes who was prepared to give it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, 5,000 people were fed by the one who used all that that little boy had. And dear young people, the Lord Jesus is prepared to use all that you have. But is it His? Are we prepared to surrender it to Him? The time, the ambition, the talent, whatever it is, to just let Him choose, to let Him pick what's to be done with it, that the glory might be His. Well, this dear widow says, the Lord says she's cast in more than they all, because the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at this one, and He saw all that was in her heart, and He recognizes it for what it was, a gift of love, a gift of love. Dear young people, may God give to you and I. And oh, how I earnestly seek it for myself, knowing how far short I come in these things, that we might like the leper, that we might like the leper, that we might, I should say, rather like the man from whom the demons were cast, that we might go home and tell our friends what great things He's done for us. That we might, like the blind man, follow Jesus in the way. That we might, like the widow, be prepared to give Him all. And that we might not, like the leper in the first of Mark, choose our own way, regardless of what the motives are. That we might not choose our own way, but let Him choose for us. Let Him choose for us. The testimony will be that which pleases Him, and the work will be that which He can bless and use for His glory.